Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey yo, speed my rants and gems. Speed my rants and gems. Yeah, I can do it, we discover. Peace to all the kings and the queens where the mother lie. Speed my rants and gems. Speed my rants and gems. Yeah, I can do it, we discover. Peace to all the kings and the queens where the mother lie.
Welcome back to another episode of Rants and Gems. My name is Matt Garland. NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And my name is Kiana Watson, license number 317576, broker extraordinaire, hashtag international. And today we have the amazing Rashana Scott.
Yes.
Here all the way from Chicago.
Chicago in the building. Chicago in the building. Chicago in the house.
Hey, you guys, we are coming to you live from London, and we wondering why aren't they a part of our community?
Look, if you're not part of the Rants and Gems gym dropping community, you're doing yourself a tremendous disservice. We got live events, behind the scenes, live Q&As with our guests. You need to be a part of the community.
You got to be a part of this community so you can ask questions to all of our guests, so you can interact with us, vibe with us, get exclusive behind the scenes footage. I mean, we're gonna have everything you need in our community. So y'all stop asking questions on Instagram and join our community so you can get the real answers.
Exactly, so link is in the bio. Join the Rants and Gems certified gym dropper community today. Get behind the scenes action, live Q&As, free
Rashana is an amazing real estate broker. She has so much knowledge about investing in
talk.
What makes her stand apart from other typical agents is she really represents investors. First time investors, second time investors, people that are buying buildings and blocks. So Rashana, tell people more about who you are and what made you fall in love with real estate.
All right. Hey everybody. Thanks so much for having me. Yes. So I am a licensed real estate broker in the state of Illinois. I run a team of Chicago real estate agents, and I also run a community called Flipping in Heels for women real estate investors. What made me fall in love with real estate was I really just wanted freedom, really. You know, when I was 19, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, right? A book that most investors, you know, starting out read. And I really got my license just to be a better investor because I was young and trying to figure it out, right? And there was really not a lot of representation in the industry. You know, when I was looking for black women in real estate, black investors, black women developers, I just didn't see that. So that was one of the main reasons for me starting a community, you know, the Flipping in Heels community, to create that woman and become her and then find other women that I was looking for and then actually highlight them, as well as when I was like, okay, you know, again, I just wanted to get my feet wet and learn about investing in real estate. And then I just got my license. And then next thing you know, here we are.
Here we are. Okay. So how did you get started with your first real estate investment deal? Let's talk about that.
So my very first investment deal was a private investment deal. I was a young, broke college student, and I just wanted to get started investing in real estate, and someone gave me the opportunity to invest in one of their projects. So I actually went to them, and I was like, hey, you know, this is all of the money that I have. They were raised, I forget what the minimum investment was, but I literally was like, well, I got $5,000, and I just want to be a part of this, you know, investment. And so the thing that it allowed was what we call now like mentor hacking, right? Because I now have money in this project, and I was showing up every day asking questions about this project, right? And I think that's the thing a lot of people want. Everybody wants a mentor for free, right? I'm running around and looking for somebody to mentor you. But you know, when you make that investment, now, you know, whomever is running that project, like, they, you know, have to answer questions to you, right? And so I learned a lot from that project. Fast forward from there, then I started different investment projects, from flipping to tax lien investing, wholesaling, and buying and holding. So great. That first investment snowballed all the other investments and partnerships from people that I had just met from just networking in the industry and really just trying to figure it out.
Love that.
All right, so you figured it out. You got into that first deal. Yep. You got your license. So you're also helping investors, mm-hmm. right? Now, we're in New York, we're in Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn. Shout out to the Brooklyn Bank for hosting us today. All right? So, you know, New York is high cost. It's expensive mm-hmm. as hell, especially here in Brooklyn, where we're at in Bed-Stuy. You can get a two, which I call them two flats.
Yeah,
we call them two families here. But a two flat in New York will cost you $1 million, and it's a fixer.
Yeah.
People can't afford to do that here, right? Now, in Chicago, tell us the average price point of these two flats, like these multifamily homes, 2 to 4 families.
Yeah, so 2 to 4 units right now with, you know, obviously the market has gone up everywhere, you know, because of supply and demand. But you can typically get a decent two flat for about maybe 250 to 350, yeah.
Now, is that a turnkey or a property?
So turnkey, $300,000. In you know, certain areas, right?
So areas.
They'll range. So like on the south side of Chicago, on the west side of Chicago, you know, they'll range.
Is this Chi-Town or Chi-Rock? Let's be clear here, please.
Yeah, no, let's be clear.
We need to know.
Let's be clear. So Chicago is huge, right?
Chicago is, first of all, the
third largest city in the world. So you have different areas, you know, good and bad everywhere, right? You got your 10% everywhere. I tell my clients, I tell everybody, it is block by block, right? But this is Chi-Town, okay? This is Chi-Town that I'm speaking of. I'm born and raised on the South Side. I've moved all over the South Side. That's my primary market of helping first-time investors buy and sell real estate. You know, one of my clients, for example, bought a 2-unit before, you know, COVID hit. He bought it for about $140,000. He put about 40 into it. Once COVID hit, he's all in at right under 200. You know, he did a FHA 203K renovation loan. And then in 2 years, he had 100,000 in equity, right? Because I told you guys, two flats are right now are selling for every bit of three to 330, depending on where you are. We literally sold that property, and because that was his primary residence, he paid no capital gains tax, you know, moved out and actually took that investment and rolled it into, you know, a bigger purchase.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that. So you're talking for a rehab property, can you still get under 200K for a rehab property right now?
You can, but it's gonna need everything. So it's gonna be a full gut. You know, so for first time investors, I don't recommend doing full guts unless you are really tight, you know, with your contractors, with your team, unless you have a really solid team. But anything under 200 that's a multi-unit right now is gonna be a lot of work, unless, you know, you utilize some of these resources. You know, we talked about like the land bank before. I actually just want to
What's the land bank?
So in Chicago, and I know they have it in a couple of areas around the country. So we have something called the Cook County Land Bank, where basically the land bank is going into the communities and cleaning up properties that are troubled properties, right? There's tax liens, water issues, judgments, things like that. They're able to get those properties and remove, you know, any of the bad debt or anything, and basically put them back out specifically to developers because they want these properties back up, operated, and on, you know, on the tax roll. Okay. And they actually have, even if you are like financing the property, you know, your lender is going to be in like first lien position essentially, but the land bank will actually also have another lien on the property to make sure you actually complete the renovation that you say you're going to do. And they actually will come in and they'll actually do an inspection before you can sell it to that end buyer.
Are there any restrictions with this land bank?
Yeah, the only restriction is just that you cannot be an out-of-state investor, so you can partner with somebody in state.
Okay, tell us about this partnership you're talking about here. How do you partner with someone that's in state?
On a, y'all just form an LLC together.
And they can buy it as their primary resident. But so they have it has to be a primary residence.
No, it does not have to be a primary residence. You can be a developer when you're literally navigating it. And this is why I tell people, like, don't knock it until you try it. There were so many. This is about to be the third flip that I'm doing with the land bank. Basically, the numbers are we want to bid at $42,000. It's a frame 2 flat. I'm going to go in. And again, you guys know it's going to need a major rehab. We're going to put about 150 in it.
Okay.
We're going to put about 150 in it. And right now, the as-is value is 320.
So you're into it for what, 190, 195?
Yeah, call it 200.
Call it 200K.
Yeah.
And you're going to flip it for 330.
320. Yeah.
Maybe 330 by time it's
maybe
ready.
330
maybe
by the
350,
time.
Maybe 350, because it's up in the stock in my Kiana voice.
Listen, it depends on how big you make the bathroom, kitchen, bathroom, closet.
Yeah. Yes.
Those are three things.
Yeah.
It's the kitchen, and it's the bathroom.
Yeah.
And for people right now, it's that owner suite with the closet, because we are living in a world of capitalism. All y'all love to buy, buy, buy.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's actually an easier process than most people think. But literally, you just go on a website, you put in the information to get access to the property, then you submit your bid and you wait to hear back. And it's really as simple as that.
Typically, how long does it take to win your bids? Like, is it like something that you know right away? Does it take some time?
We heard back a week after bids were due.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. So
yeah.
So basically, an out-of-state investor, if we want to buy in the land bank, we need to partner with a resident like yourself or our guy Andre and say, hey, look, let's do business.
Absolutely.
Let's form a joint venture and let's get it going.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's other community organizations that have property, that this is their same mission, right? There are properties, you know, in minority areas that have all of these issues that have been vacant. They've been sitting vacant for years and they're just adding up, you know, fines and fees and, you know, all of these bills. And nobody wants to, you know, a regular person doesn't have the authority to go and just clear, you know, all of the issues from a property. So usually a community organization will come in, you know, to help revitalize the area. And, you know, you as a developer, you know, you're coming in and you're, you know, doing a service to the community by getting this property up and going, and you get to make some money from it in the meantime.
Are there any incentives for investors to buy in Chicago like that the city may be offering?
So the only incentive that I am aware of is really just tax incentives, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people ask that all the time, actually, if there are any programs, you know, for investors purchasing real estate. And unless you are, you know, going to house hack or owner occupy, there aren't any programs really. But yes, there are tax incentive programs when you're talking about like investing in opportunity zones and things like that to defer capital gains taxes. That's about it.
All right. So we have 203K if you're going to do the primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
You do the BRRRS, right? You can do that with a 203K, live in it for a year, burr out of it, and move on. But then if you're doing a straight investment, typically it's a 25% down payment. You can do a conventional, or you can do a hard money loan or any asset base and put it in your LLC. Now let's talk about, let's upgrade, right? We're graduating, okay? We went from the 2 to 4 families or 2 to 4 flats. Now let's get into commercial real estate, because Chicago's commercial real estate
beautiful.
Is beautiful.
Yes.
I love it. I keep losing bids, but I love it. The camera's laughing because in Connecticut, I'm losing bids too because I ain't paying that price.
Yo, you heard it here first. MG is closing in Chicago before the end of this year.
Yo, that's a fact. We are. Just give me my number.
And he'll be closing in Chicago after he closes in Atlanta. Because that's already, he's been stressing me out for 6.7 months.
6.7? Stress your agents out.
That sounds like an interest rate.
It feels like an interest rate. It just keeps going up.
So let's talk about commercial real estate. Like, how's the land? How's the Chicago landscape for commercial buildings right now?
So it's so funny because commercial real estate is actually, you can get commercial real estate for the same price as residential real estate in some areas in Chicago. So I just share with you guys that in some areas, you know, two flat can be 300, 330, 350, in different parts of the area, of the city, you know, upwards of $1 million, right, wherever you are. On those same sides of the city, you can get a 6-unit, an 8-unit, a 10-unit, 400, 450, 550, you know, depending on where it is. I literally just sold a 3-unit for 535. Also, you know, a renovation loan where a client has 300,000 in equity. But you can also go two neighborhoods down and get a commercial property for that same price. So commercial real estate in Chicago is interesting. It's not valued at the same rate as, you know, if you're considering a two flat at, you know, 300,000, you're like, okay, you know, units are usually trading at like 150 a door, right? But it's just not the same in commercial. Mm.
So what kind of cash flow can we be looking at in Chicago commercial? Like, what is it? What are we looking at usually? 12%, 15% ROI on our money?
10 to 12% usually, right? Okay. You guys know, obviously, the best returns are in the hood, right? So, you know.
Chirac?
So Chirac is your 15%, 16%. Right, that's when you're getting up there.
We're getting like 20% in Chirac?
that's when you're getting up there. I haven't seen 20% yet. But, you know, that's where you're going to get, you know, your higher returns at, you know. And I actually, you know, for the realtors, obviously, you know, we get this question a lot. Like, where should I invest? You know, where is it safe to invest? And legally, you know, I can't advise, you know, where you should invest. But people always want to know, where is gentrification happening? Or what is this? Or what is that? Or where's, you know, where should my money go? And I always tell people, like, listen, you need to go back to what are your goals? What are your goals, right? Are your goals cash flow? Are your goals appreciation? You know, because cash flow is measurable. Appreciation is not. Fact. Appreciation is assumed, right? And, you know, and we assume it based on, like, you know, market statistics, you know, what's going on in the community, any new developments and things like that. But also the bottom can fall out at any given time. Right. So, but cash flow, you know, when you are measuring it and you're looking at what exactly the numbers are, right, this is the rental income, these are the expenses, you know, it is what it is. Depending on where your goals are, you just, you know, stick to your goals and follow where you can get those numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And you, but also you have to be comfortable, you know, as an investor, if you're going to be self-managing, you know, going into certain areas and things like that. So you can accomplish whatever it is you want to do in real estate. You just have to stick true to what your goals are, because whatever you want to do, you can.
I love that. I love that. And we do have another question. So when you're working for and getting a commercial building, because a lot of people, we talk about buying that first flip, but no one's like, how do you finance? How do you get into that first commercial building? Yeah. What should a buyer expect when it comes to that process? Like preparation, credit score, savings, all that.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty similar. Yeah, great question. It's actually pretty similar to residential, right? The biggest difference is the larger down payment. So you're looking at, you know, 25% down usually on commercial. But if you take, you know, that residential client, for example, that I said, you know, gained $100,000 in equity and turned around and, you know, he sold that property, he could have easily taken $100,000 and put it and bought a 6-unit, right? Because when you're, you know, leveraging up, like, that's, you know, that's the model, right? So commercial financing, obviously, is also what you need. Your credit scores are usually what, 620?
About 620, 640.
About 620 on commercial. And now when you're talking about like buying commercial though, like the tenants, the numbers have to add up, right? And in today's day and age, I do not care about a rent roll.
Okay. Facts.
I do not care about a referral. I want to see deposits, especially with, you know, the eviction moratorium and things like that. And Chicago is a very tenant-friendly city. The laws are for the tenant. And so you want to make sure if you're going to be inheriting a tenant that, one, you know, obviously they're paying, and two, you know, that everything is going to check out. You want to be viewing these units, walking these units, getting inspections on these units, you know. You just want to make sure everything checks out. I mean, the process, again, is very similar to residential, you know, and you can actually burr commercial property as well. You know, you can go in and purchase in Chicago, let's say, again, let's say a 6 to 10 unit that needs work for, let's call it, you know, under 200 or under 250, you know, put some money into it. And as long as you're able to force enough equity in there, you can refinance out and get, you know, your original down payment back. You know, it's the same strategy that you guys here talked about, you know, as burn residential.
So I think it's important you talk about the getting into contract in Chicago, right? Because a lot of this due diligence that you're speaking on does not happen before you get in contract.
No.
These fools.
He learned.
I lost a lot of money playing around in Chicago.
Unfortunately,
thousands of dollars on inspections because what happens is they will, everything that she's saying, the rent roll is a lie because this is just spreadsheets for the most part. And these people put, these sellers are slumlords. They don't care. They'll put anything. They'll have all these pro formas. Oh, we're getting this on market, but the pro forma is this.
They love them pro forma numbers.
They love these pro forma numbers. And it's like, okay, how, Sway? Where is it?
Yeah.
Show it to me. But what I learned.
Life is sweet and made even sweeter when spent with the ones you love. Savor the moment, big or small, with the delicious bottled Starbucks Frappuccino drink. Or for a new favorite sip, check out the full Starbucks ready-to-drink coffee lineup online or wherever you buy groceries. Because with Starbucks coffee, you're always ready for the right now.
The hard way and the most expensive way is that they don't have to show you anything in Chicago until you actually put down your deposit.
Yep.
It could be $5,000, $10,000, whatever they want. And you have to sign that contract. And then you have to get an inspection. And on commercial buildings, that inspection could be $1,500. It could be $5,000, depending on how many units the property is. And then they say, okay, here's the truth. Am I right? Am I lying? Or am I telling the truth right now? Because that's what happened to me, I think, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, so
Lord have mercy.
So well one of those deals fell apart because I don't remember, but
it fell apart because of the seller, not because of me. They maligned.
But it was, and one of those deals was not because of the numbers. We fell apart for some other reason.
I think the lawyer didn't like the fact that
it was
the tenants because they wasn't paying.
And it was something.
This was in the middle of the pandemic when the moratoriums and everything like that. So the lawyer was like, nah, don't take this because the seller was playing games.
Right. That's exactly what it was. So, yeah. I mean, so you run into that, unfortunately. And yes, you know, inspections are going to, you know, cost more when you are purchasing commercial property. But, you know, your due diligence items that you are, you know, want to request, obviously you're going to have an inspection. You're going to request the rent rolls. You want to see the actual bills for the utility, right? The actual utility bills you want to see. You want to request the leases, right? You want to request any appraisals, any information. We also call it a T12, right? A trailing 12, basically the last 12 months showing every single actual bill that has been paid on that, right? You know, you have your water bill, which, you know, MG, we've gone back and forth. Huh. A number of times on, he's like, why is water so high in Chicago?
Nah, that's the highest water bills I've ever seen in my life. Like, what the fuck are these people doing out here? Like, do they leave the water running all day long?
Or,
I don't understand this.
Or it might be a leak, right? And oftentimes you know, poorly managed buildings, like, they're just paying it, you know, it's just poorly managed, you know.
And then these fools want top dollar.
And then they won't top dollar, yes. Because of the market, right? We're in a supply and demand,
I don't give a damn what we're in.
But there
he
are
is
still
the worst
deals.
Client ever. I swear to God.
I mean, he sees what's happening out here. He understands the market. But he feels like, I know that's what they're asking, but I'm not giving them that. No. But there's 10 people giving them that.
Well, yeah. Good luck
what
to them.
What do you want me to do?
Well, yeah. They're going to have a $33,000 bill like Andre had, right? And paying top dollar. That's not going to be me.
Sir.
I'm patient.
We need a dilapidated property for you.
But come on. Say it again. Oh, say it again.
Because
Matt, so since, you know, we talk about Matt now, right? So Matt does not want to do work, right? Everybody talks like, and they say, Matt doesn't want to do any work on any properties. He just wanted cash flowing and he just want to walk in, right, to cash flow. Now, here's the thing. Everybody wants to walk into cash flow. So there's going to be competition on that, right? But then there also are selling the value add play, right? So these properties are value add, meaning, okay, when the tenant moves out, now you can go in and you can do a little bit of work, raise the rents, right? And so if the numbers work at the pro forma number, oftentimes that's what listing agents are pushing. But Matt is like, no, I'm going off of the as is number. So, you know, I don't fault you for that, bro. Like, you sticking to your numbers and, you know, I mean, and we still don't have a deal. But, you know, but it's going to come, right? You know, being patient.
Let me talk
the way Matt talked to y'all. You can keep waiting. What's going to happen is the interest rates will continue to rise. Right. And basically, based on the rates and the value increases, waiting just costs Matt 16% on the value increase in the metro Atlanta area. But, you know, have fun.
Let me tell you now from Matt's voice, I don't give a damn. Where's my camera, Toots? Zoom in. I don't give a damn about what these two realtors are telling me right now. And I'm going to tell y'all, too. I'm going to stick to my guns.
Yeah.
You can't tell me the pro forma is this, but you're getting this. This shit don't add up to me. If you want the market value, right? And your market value, your numbers don't support the market value. It just doesn't, right? So when you're getting, look, there's cost approach and sales approach when you're talking commercial real estate. This is not residential. You can't go over market value.
Yeah.
We got to look at what's the rent?
What's that?
What are you collecting? So your value's off by 50 to 60,000 off top. Yeah. But you want, like, it's at the pro forma number.
Right.
So what these sellers want, y'all, they want the pro forma number price today.
Right.
Based on what they think it's going to be.
Later. But we got a 10-unit building.
You
got
to put the work in.
That got, like, 8 people not paying. And they're all below market rent. And they're not even giving you the information until you pay. It's like, yo, what the hell is going on here? Yeah.
But we'll find a deal.
No, we're gonna find a deal because now we gotta go rehab now because I've learned an expensive lesson. Look,
and we literally
stick to my guns.
And we literally just had that conversation because everybody wants a Caesar,
turnkey.
What we call it, a Caesar deal.
Oh, right? Everybody wants a Caesar deal. But Caesar's a nut though.
So
he's built differently.
But here's the thing. So again, obviously, you know, the best value is gonna be, I believe, the value that you go in and add, right? Mm-hmm. Because now you can control, right, where you're pushing, you know, the market, right? You make money in real estate when you buy, right? That's where the money is made, is on the front end. So, you know, buying right and buying low, but if, you know, the lowest that you're going to buy are properties that need significant rehab.
So, we make money in real estate when you buy, not what you sell. So why the hell would I buy something knowing I'm gonna put myself in risk of losing all my money because I can't get out of this property, and now I gotta carry the debt, the expenses, the bad tenants, because Chicago laws suck.
Right.
How long does it take to evict in Chicago? Exactly. I rest my case.
That was a long break.
Why the hell? Exactly my point. So why would I buy this piece of shit?
3 to 15 months.
3 to 15 months.
Real?
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. because there's a such thing as called a professional tenant, right?
Yes.
So where they know that you can't evict from October to March. So if they stop paying,
why can't they evict from October to March? Listen to this shit.
Because of the weather.
Who gives a damn? Exactly my point.
Because of the weather.
What kind of law is that? It's cold outside. Can't evict you?
but you can get
out of the year. You
but you can, but you can, yeah, you can get, you
exactly.
know, you can file. First of all, it's going to take you probably 3 months to even get a court date anyway. So when you understand the timeline and the process, by the time you actually get to court, the tenant probably left anyway. Right, but
probably,
but didn't pay you, but or they maybe they have, maybe they hadn't, but they hadn't paid rent, right? You know, for all of those months. Mm. So, yeah.
So, I mean, we're not trying to scare people from the market. We're
I know, just, right?
We're no, just but this is real talk, though. Like,
but this is yeah, real, it's real talk. Talk. Yeah. So,
and we're not gonna put Matt in a bad deal, first of all. And I would,
I won't right? put myself in a bad deal.
I know, but and
I love y'all.
And none of my clients go in bad deals.
No, and I know
but
that.
But the best deals are going to be some deals that's where you got you know you gonna have to
it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I said it.
Let me see this. Let me
Where's
see
my camera? Where's my camera? You're gonna have to get the worst house on the best block. Okay.
Look, let me tell y'all my philosophy behind Chicago. The cash flow is the best in the Midwest. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Correct.
So for me, okay, I'm dealing with some bread here. Let me just run it up real quick and get a bunch of cash flowing turnkey properties. I don't have a team in Chicago when it comes to contractors, things of this nature. And I don't got time to be doing this. So I need the best solution that works for me. Every investor is different. You can't go off what you see on the internet, folks. You got to run your own race. So for me, this is the race that I want to run. I got the money, so I'm patient, right? Mm-hmm. This race ain't for me no more. I put my money on these inspections, and these sellers be lying their asses off. But I've lost probably, what, $6,000-$7,000 in inspection money so far. I'd rather lose that than close on a deal and have bad tenants, and now I got debt that I got to pay for.
That's what it was. It just came back. Mm-hmm. So one of the deals that we had the inspection on, remember the rehab costs came back.
Oh my God.
That's what it was.
One of these deals, the rehab, so an inspection came with their cost estimate, this, that, and third. Okay, cool, that sounds doable. We got contractors out there, my Lord, up in stock is the real thing. These dudes put on a New York tax on me. It was ridiculous, and then the numbers just didn't make sense to me no more.
Yeah.
So why the hell would I buy it? I'ma walk away. But I've learned my lesson, especially talking to Rashawn a lot, and obviously my guy Caesar flipping New Jersey, because he went out there and brought like 8,000 units in like 2 weeks, because like I said, he's a nut. He's built for that. He has a whole team in Jersey of contractors and everything like that. So it's easier for him to say, you know what, I'm going to provide housing for my team, and I'm going to ship them to Chicago to work on my projects, because he's getting everything at cost. I can't depend on Caesar's people to work on my buildings, because that's his people. So for me, I'm like, nah, I'm not trying to go this route. But now I realize, damn, I ain't got no choice if I want to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
Because these turnkey properties, these guys are out of their freaking mind. And these brokers who get these listings, they don't care.
Mm-mm.
They're straight up like, we're going off these numbers, you want it or not. Because we got 10 people out here who's willing to pay, but those people don't mean, look, we always say, it don't matter how many doors you got. A lot of these people ain't making money.
Fact.
A and lot of people ain't making money in real estate. I'm telling you this for a fact, because they're overpaying.
Right.
And there's no way in hell you're going to make money. Like, there's no way. I'm not here for not-for-profit like the Brooklyn Bank.
Correct.
I am a compassionate capitalist. I want my fucking money. Period.
You work hard for it.
I work hard.
We heard him. You heard it here first. But at least let's tell people, before we wrap, I want you to tell people the benefits of owning commercial real estate, because I want to just open up the door to that, because we have been, now that we've been doing the podcast, our 1 year anniversary is coming up soon.
Yes.
We really want to elevate people. By this time, you should be ready to or have already purchased your first property. You should be planning for that next level. So commercial real estate, to me, is a great way to talk about that next level. Give some people some benefits of the commercial market. Benefits.
Right.
In Chicago.
I mean, cash flow, obviously, right? When the numbers are right, when the numbers are true, right? We talked about just verifying exactly what it is. Cash flow and appreciation, and being able to, once you step into the commercial property, arena, now your portfolio, your entire portfolio is leveled up at that point, because you can go to the bank and you can, you know, leverage your portfolio and get more and more loans, you know, lines of credits and things like that. But that's one of the biggest things that I would say is being able to also make a statement in the community, right? Like commercial property, again, and if you guys have never been to Chicago, visited, you know, visit certain sides of the city, you'll be okay. Okay, don't be scared to come to Chicago. But we have some very large, beautiful commercial statement pieces on many sides of the neighborhoods, I mean, of the city. But being able to go in and actually, revitalize these communities and actually be a good landlord, mm-hmm. you know, in these communities, provide safe and affordable housing, which we didn't even, you know, touch on. But, you know, the affordable housing piece, there's so many positive aspects there in regards to being a landlord in that space to where your property should never, ever, you know, be vacant, right? There is a waiting list of affordable housing tenants in Chicago. And so, It's a great market to invest in. Should everything check out, all of the numbers, you know, pass the inspection. You know, if you're doing some value add, right? Whether you're doing, you know, minor cosmetic work or major rehab, I've literally seen my clients' lives change overnight by getting out of the residential market, right? They built up their portfolio utilizing residential properties, starting with the smaller 2, 3, 4 unit properties and getting out of those and leveraging up and buying commercial real estate. Because again, like I said, in my market, you can buy commercial real estate at the same price as you can residential. So that's one of the biggest benefits there too.
I love it.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing all these great information. So we gotta wrap it up, but we do want to get a good rant from you about the industry and a great gem you can share with our people.
Okay, so I'll start with the, I guess it's a rant and a gem, I don't know. So my biggest thing is realtors who are out here helping everybody else create generational wealth and not doing it for themselves. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is people who are just selling real estate. Like, I'm not opening doors forever. I'm just not, right? And again, I got into real estate to get into investing. And so by me having that investment experience, then I attracted my clients, which were first-time investors. A lot of people wanted to now understand and learn, you know, about investing. So if you are a first-time investor, first of all, everybody on your team that you hire, that you work with, should also be investors as well. They should understand, you know, if it's a realtor, if it's your attorney, your lender, they need to understand that language as an investor. And like I said, if you are a realtor yourself, make sure you are not selling every single property, you know, that you come across. One of my great purchases that I went into purchasing and instantly had $200,000 in equity is because the seller called me first to come out for a listing appointment, and I noticed it to be a great deal. And instead of going home and sending a listing agreement, I went home and sent the contract, right?
Boss.
Boss. I like that. That's very important.
Very important.
Transactional people need to invest. Now, that's very important because we often find ourselves helping everybody else build wealth as transactional folks, and we don't spend enough time helping ourselves. So that was a real big gem right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and you guys get access to the deals first, right? Mm-hmm. So you can cherry pick the best and sell the rest, literally. Ooh. You know, you're in that industry for a reason, right? You're in that industry because you love what real estate can do for people, right? It can literally change lives and provide an amazing foundation. So do that for yourself and your families as well.
I love Chicago real estate.
Chi-town. He's gonna love it even more when we close.
I'm gonna love it even more when I close and I get that cash flow. We will close.
After Atlanta.
No, we got the tiny house and we're gonna get more. she liked that little ass deal. You saw her face? That little ass $200,000 deal.
First of all, it's not the size of the deal, it's the way that you deal the deal.
Okay.
And we got things going on. We actually have more in the pipeline. We have an investment call tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, 2 p.m., I think.
So, because even for me, it went from, and that's this is way offline, but this it mm-hmm. went from representing a tiny home to being an equity investor. Mm-hmm. So you go from, you don't want to just be the person on the other end.
Come on.
How about you get paid just to actually be there, just being in the room and investing your money. So
ownership.
Equity plays is where I'm at. So that's what I'm talking about. There is levels. I went from opening every single door to building a team, to building a brokerage, to now I represent the brokerage as a whole and I use the money that I make to do equity plays, investing in other businesses.
Absolutely.
So I can do things like this.
Absolutely.
So
it's been an excellent episode. Yeah. So Rashauna, tell the people how to find you. Tell them how to connect with you if they want to invest in Chicago.
Absolutely. So I'm Rashauna Scott everywhere. So you guys can find me on all social media channels. You can Google me. And all of my information is there. The links on how to connect with me, schedule a call. For my ladies who are interested in investing, learning how to invest in real estate and join a community of women investors, you guys can look up Flipping in Heels.
There you have it. Look, we told you a lot of real stuff today in this episode, not fluff, because I think too many times people talk about the good and they forget about the bad and the ugly.
Yeah, we talked.
And my story in Chicago right now is bad and ugly, right? But it's life. Throw you lemons, you got to make lemonade and you got to keep going. That's what real estate investing is all about. You got to keep going. No matter how much you spend on inspections, lawyers, whatever it is, if the deal don't fall through, it just wasn't meant to be. Right. Don't have emotional attachments. Wait for your deal. Be patient, because too many times people just want to buy real estate just because they want to say, I got a real estate deal done, mm-hmm. and they wind up crying later. Trust me, they call me because they want to refinance, and I laugh at them like, damn, you made a bad decision.
Right? Are you upside down?
You
bought wrong.
You bought wrong. And for me, and I hope everybody who's watching this and was here live, do not buy wrong. Do not rush to get a deal just because you want to say, I popped my cherry in real estate and I got a deal.
Right.
Make the right decisions.
Absolutely.
So I'll leave it on that. That's my gem.
I love that.
Yeah, that was cool. All right. This was a vibe. Shout out to Chicago. Shout out to Rashauna Scott. And my name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
My name is Kiana Watson. Oh, wow.
Kiana
Watson. License number 317576. Thank you guys for tuning in for another amazing episode of the Rants and Gems Show.
Peace.
To be my Rants and Gems. I'm so NY like MG rocking his Tims. Poor Kiana representing Atlanta. We talking everything that's real estate. Y'all peeping the gram, I'm saying.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.